This is Nikki Hamilton, and I have the privilege of being here with Miss Carolyn Robinson Hunter to talk about her life growing up in Suwannee as part of the Black History Initiative. Today is May 27th, 2019. Miss Carolyn Hunter, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for being willing to share your story with us. If it's okay, I'm just going to ask you to tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what was it like when you were growing up in Suwannee.
Well, I grew up in Suwannee, Tennessee. My mother and father, John Childress and Lacey Childress. I had a very good childhood because all we did was played and did whatever our parents told us to do. And of course, as time went on, I started school at Kennerly, but we transferred to a school in Cowan, Thurgood Elementary School. And then from there, I went to Townsend High School. And of course, I was a straight A-B student. I don't know why, but I was pretty smart. And then after that, they sent me to college in South Carolina, Denmark, South Carolina. I attended Voorhees College, and I majored in business administration. So from probably 65 till 69, I was in South Carolina. And of course, when I got out of school, I relocated to Nashville, Tennessee, because I was under the doctor's care for an accident that I was in. And, from there I just started getting jobs, and I've been working, and I worked for several companies, and I retired from the Teamsters. I worked for the Teamsters Local Union number 480. Worked for them for over 20 years. And I've had a fairly good life, married twice. And of course, my husband was a vet. He was a United States Army veteran, and I lost him in 2003. So at this point, I'm just retired and taking it one day at a time.
And if you don't mind stating your full name and say where you were born and when.
My full name is Carolyn Delores Robinson Hunter. I was born in Belvidere, Tennessee, which is about 30 miles from here. And I was born in 1946, December 31st, 1946, in Belvidere, Tennessee.
Great, thanks. So can you tell me about your earliest memories here in Suwannee?
Well, I come home so often, my memories of Suwannee is just coming home, seeing things changing. For the better, but I come home pretty frequently. It's just Suwannee is a university, and usually we don't have anything to do with the university because I didn't go to the university, and it is what it is, We were not students, we were just people who lived up here. And of course, I was fortunate enough to win a scholarship to go to a college in Denmark, South Carolina, which was Voorhees College. And then from there, I just, after I got out of college, I stopped in Nashville, and I've been in Nashville ever since. But I still come home pretty frequently.
Can you recall what years you were here in Suwannee as a child?
Oh. From 47 or 48 mm-hmm. till 65. I've been up here all my life.
All your life,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Except when I left to go to college.
What was some of the favorite things your family did here in Suwannee growing up?
Well, the favorite things mostly was going to church. And most of the time we go to church off the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
When we were children, we went to St. Mark's Community Chapel. That was our church. And of course, we went to a lot of churches down the mountain, which was Winchester, Cowan, and Tullahoma, and Decatur, Tennessee. But memories of growing up is just not, you know, I can't remember a lot of stuff because when I was young, you know, you think you have a crush on people and ended up being pedophiles, but we don't talk about that because, again, you didn't realize it at the time. It was just here recently. I was telling my girlfriend, I said, you know, we had pedophiles in our lives. Cause we didn't know it because Mama didn't tell us that. Instead of that, they just sent me away. Yeah. Just got me out of town. But other than that, I had good memories of Swanee.
Who were your friends that you played with or hung out with?
My cousins, Rita and Sandra and Alfreda, and just all my cousins, the ones that were here, and they would send me to Belvedere, and I would stay with my cousins in Belvedere, Tennessee. My mother had lots of sisters, so in the summer times, we'd always spend the summer in Belvedere, Tennessee, with my aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm. And I was the only girl in my family. I had two brothers, one older and one younger.
And they were all, were they born here?
Johnny was born here. Harry wasn't. Mm-hmm. Johnny was born here.
The youngest one?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Where was Harry born?
Harry was born in Ohio.
Mm. So your parents moved from Ohio here? Yeah.
Well, my mother, yes, she did.
And did you all have events like today, cookouts? Like, do you remember any of that from your time at Swanee?
Well, we had cookouts and things like that, but, you know, the university, they decided to build a center, so they built the center, the community center. And so we have things down here all the time. Or whenever I come home to participate, but, you know, it's always been kind of shallow because the university do what they do, and we did what we did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff we did didn't have nothing to do with the university.
Before you had this center, yeah, where were you having your cookouts?
At home, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably at the house. Yeah.
So you all obviously grew up in some challenging times. It was a challenging time in our history when you grew up. Were you aware of?
No, that's the thing. Mom and them, they went to all these meetings up in Montego, which was understandable. They were going to meetings. But I didn't realize there was so much racism going on because nobody ignored us up here because whenever we went, they accepted it, you know. They had a Sunday shop where you could go buy hamburgers and different things like that. We'd go up there, and it was for the students too, but we'd go and they'd sell to us or give to us. So I don't have any bad memories. It's just that I knew I didn't want to be a maid mm-hmm. when I was growing up, watching Mama and my aunts. Mm-hmm. So that's about it.
Yeah. What did you dream about being when you were growing up?
A secretary. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was the wisest thing to do, the easiest thing to do. And, of course, I had 4 or 5 jobs because the only reason for working is money. And every job offered me more money. So mm-hmm. when I got my job working for the Teamsters, I quit going after jobs because it seemed like the more jobs I went after, the more I got and the bigger it got. So I just thought, I need to stop this because, you know, the only reason you work is for money. And I was making money. But no sad memories up here.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say eventually was your career?
I was a business administration. I was really into, I was like a liaison for the insurance company and the members of the union. Mm-hmm. And I explained people's insurance and their pensions to them. They didn't understand their pensions. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand insurance and why this was paid and why that one was paid and not paid. Well, I understood it, and they didn't, so I did well with what I knew.
Where was the insurance company located?
In Chicago. Okay. Insurance was Central States Pension Fund, Health and Welfare and Pension Fund. And, of course, I was in Nashville at the union, And I was the pension insurance person. And once they figured out I knew what I knew, well, that was a challenge because white folks wasn't used to black people being in an office. So this man came in and he started talking, just talking. I said, well, you need to shut up if you expect me to help you. I need to understand what you're talking about. And I said, we'll do one thing at a time. I always had to explain to them what your brother's business is not your business. Just because you two work together don't mean everything is going to be the same. I said, you wasn't out the same time. You didn't go on vacation the same time. I said, so your pension history shouldn't be like your brother's unless y'all did the same thing every day. I said, you didn't get sick together, and I said, you didn't take off together, so why should your pension be any like his? I said, and plus, we can't talk about his pension. I have to talk about yours. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, okay. I said, you know, if you want me to help you, you have to shut up, because I know what I know, and you know what you know, but I can't mm-hmm. tell you if you won't shut up. So after a while, they realized that, she's black, but she knows what she's talking about. So I literally had to fight them to make them listen to me. But mm-hmm. finally, they realized, I better start listening to her. Mm-hmm. So I was successful at what I did. Retiring people, helping them to understand what they would receive and if they retired, or telling them how long, if they worked a little longer, what that would mean. Mm-hmm. So I always had a way of handling people.
Yeah. Out of all the things that you've learned from your parents or your teachers or your mentors, like, what would you say you feel was the most valuable thing you learned from them?
Learning to respect others. Learning to respect and just taking life one day at a time, realizing that you can't do anything no more than the moment, you know, you can't go beyond the moment. So learning to respect and listen. You have to learn to listen to people if you expect to hear them. You can't hear if you're not listening. So I learned, you know, to respect people, learn to listen, and just take heed in what people are saying. Didn't mean anything, I'd go on, but, you know, I learned something with every job that I had. I started out working at the Board of Discipleship, which was the upper room, mm-hmm. which is the Methodist Board of Discipleship.
Where was that?
In Nashville. Mm-hmm. Then I went across the street to work for the Board of Discipleship. And that meant I was working with all these HCBU colleges, giving them grant money and loans and stuff like that. And I did that for 2 or 3 years. Then I got bored with that. Well, I just wasn't making a lot of money. And so I went to another job. I had about 4 or 5 jobs. Mm-hmm. But it was all about making more money. Mm-hmm.
Did you have them all at the same time?
Or no, different. I worked for the upper room maybe a year and a half, maybe. Then I went to the Board of Discipleship, and I worked there for maybe 3 years or so. Oh, and then I left there and went to Meharry Medical College, and I worked mm-hmm. there for about 5 years. Then I left Meharry Medical College and went to East Tennessee and worked for Morristown College. Oh, I couldn't stand that. That was a bad decision. Mm. So I worked for
Where
them for about in Knoxville, Tennessee. Morristown mm-hmm. is
yeah.
a couple of miles from Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that because I was too removed from everything. It was just like a fly in buttermilk. You know, it was just that isolated. There wasn't a lot of activity there other than the school. And I didn't like being that removed from everything. Mm-hmm. So I left there and went back home, which was Nashville. And then I started working for NES. NES was a good job, Nashville Electric Service, but I got an offer from the Teamsters. And they was paying by the week, you know. So I started working for the Teamsters, and benefits were great, money was good, and so I thought I'll just stick here. Mm-hmm. Because the only reason for working for me was money.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't there to make friends and buddies and all that. But I worked for them, then I retired in 2003 or 2004. kind of put in a situation where I had to retire.
Yeah.
But that or lose money, and I wasn't about to lose the money I'd already established, so I retired.
So other than your parents, who else would you call mentors here in Suwannee? Did you have any?
My aunt, but she's gone, Dora Turner. She was a sweet lady.
Sweet lady, yes.
She was just like my mama too. Dora and some of my teachers, but there wasn't any mentors per se up here because my parents and my relatives were the only people we really dealt with. Mama and Dora and them were into things connected with the university, but it's because they worked for the university, and that was understandable. But, you know, university was just that, the university.
Did you interact with any other kids that worked at the university, whose parents worked at the university?
Or? Oh, yeah, my cousin Rita, you know, but like I said, university is the university. I took a typing test for them, and I think they said I failed it, and I thought, how you fail a typing test? But again, it wasn't an issue because I didn't want to work up here no way. I needed to get away from here. And of course, I stayed in Nashville because I was in a car accident. And I was
How old were you when you were in a car accident?
About 26, 27. Maybe 28, I don't know. And I ended up being in Vanderbilt for almost 3 months. I almost lost my left foot, but I didn't. They saved it.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, it could have been much worse. But then I was already a month late going back to school, but they asked me what do I want to do, just stay home and recuperate. I said, I can't recuperate no more than what I'm recuperating now, so I went back to school.
To college?
Mm-hmm. In Denmark, South Carolina.
Okay.
And my friends there helped me from point, you know, doing different things, washing clothes, helping me every day, so.
And what was the college name?
Voorhees College.
Voorhees,
V-O-O-R-H-E-E-S. It's in Denmark, South Carolina. But that's about it, you know. Yeah. I just had a normal life up here because, like I said, I wasn't introduced to racism until, I don't know. Well, when I was young, my brother and I were walking through the woods, and this little boy, Alan, he spit on me, and I'll never forget it. I thought.
In the woods here in Suwannee?
Yeah. And he spit on me, and I couldn't figure out why he spit on me. And I thought, not going back in the woods with hair in him no more because I didn't like that.
Did you ask him?
The boy that spit on me? Yeah, but he just grinned. You know, and I thought, they didn't accept us. I just wasn't used to somebody spitting on me. You know, we speak and go on. We wasn't denied to go nowhere. We could go anywhere we choose to go. But, you know, we knew we couldn't go swimming at the gym because that was the university. And
were you not permitted to go there?
Or? To the gym.
Mm-hmm.
No, we weren't permitted because it was the university.
Okay.
And anything that was happening in the gym was connected to the university.
So, no.
They never shunned me because I never did anything to them. They never denied me any service or anything when I was going different places up here. So it was all right.
Yeah. Can you say a little more about why you think Alan spat on you?
Because he was white, and I guess he thought he was supposed to do that, but I didn't know why he did it, because I didn't realize we were having racial problems. I wasn't reading the paper, and when I see stuff on TV, I think, this is crazy. But then I realized what they were doing, because Martin Luther King, if it wasn't for him, I really think we'd still be back in them days because he's the one that put the truth out there. Everybody knew the truth, but he stressed the truth. That was the most brilliant man I've ever, I didn't ever meet him, but he was right there in Monteagle.
At the Highland Assembly.
He and Rosa Parks. Didn't realize it. But again, I was gone the majority of the time, so. I didn't have any racial problems.
Did you play with Alan after that?
No, because he was not my friend. He was one of my brothers that knew him, I didn't know him. I just couldn't figure out why he spit on me.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell your brothers about it?
Oh, yeah, but they didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. It was a trip. But again, like I said, when I would go to the McCrady's house, mm-hmm. the vice chancellor's house, I'd go in the front door. Mama, Carolyn, why? I said, Mama, because this is the closest door to where I got out. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Mm-hmm. I said, come on, okay. But I wouldn't go to the back door. No, ma'am. And of course, Mrs. McCrady, Edith, she and her husband helped my mama send me to school. So mm-hmm. I can't complain. They were good to me.
Yeah. I have one last question. So if there's one or two things that you would want people to know about your childhood, what would that be? And then also with your experience growing up in Suwannee, if there were one or two things you would like people to know.
My experience growing up in Suwannee was real. It was good. I didn't have any problems, I guess because I was a child. Suwannee was always like heaven. Mm-hmm. We had everything. We didn't lack in nothing. We didn't want for nothing. So university took care of black people because they provided hams and turkeys. And I guess because the parents worked for the university, so they gave, you know, we didn't suffer mm-hmm. at all. Didn't lack in anything. And when the houses we were living in wasn't quite up to par, they built houses, new houses for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Where were those?
They're here on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Did y'all live in one of those new houses?
The house that they built at the time, mm-hmm. it's just like another house now. Mm-hmm. My brother lives in it, and he lives just like it's just him that lives in it. But again, that's brothers. That's the way they do.
And who, what's the name of your brother?
Jen Howard, yeah. Childress, yeah. Jr.
So specifically to your childhood, what are one or two things you want us to remember about your childhood? It doesn't have to be about Suwannee, just memories you have of your childhood.
Liking reading, loving to read, and I don't know, my childhood was good. I just read a lot and played a lot, and I didn't play no sports. I didn't like mm-hmm. basketball. I watched, but I didn't play it. My cousin Rita played it. I wasn't into sports. I was more into books.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite book?
What do you say after a book by Eric Byrne? What do you say after you say hello?
Eric Byrne.
Eric Byrne.
Mm-hmm. I'll look it up.
Can't think of the name of it. There's several books, but that one in particular, because it helped me to understand it. Choices you make are your choices, not anybody else's. You can't blame somebody for something you did when you already thought you figured something out when it wasn't. But I had a good childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiled. The only girl.
Yeah.
So... anyway.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, no.
Okay.
I was raised and reared here.
Great. Well, Ms. Carolyn Hunter, I want to thank you so much for your time today, and thanks for sharing your story with us. It's been an honor and privilege to hear your story.
Well, I wish I'd had more to say, but, yeah. You know, I had a normal childhood. It's just growing up's not easy, and then when you get older, you say, dog, I'd rather be a child.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for...
Yeah, you are. And thank you for this wonderful contribution.
Well, I didn't say much because I didn't do much. But I did go to college.
It was great. Thank you.